Okay, well, good morning, everybody, and it's good to see everybody here this morning. I know we've got a few people out. The church may be listing starboard this morning, depending on your point of view, but I think we're in good shape. Is there still somebody in the back that's on the way in? Oh, that door's open, so I didn't know if there was or not. All right, a few announcements before we get ourselves underway this morning. Is Kelly and Andrew still getting married? Okay, so since they've stood each other this long and they're going to actually go through with it, and since my grandson has decided that he's not going to arrive hopefully this week. There's our class schedule then will be as we've been announcing over the last few Bible classes and Sundays for December, since next Sunday is the 18th, or is it next Sunday the 18th? Yeah. And I need to be down away for that weekend for the very important wedding. We will be closed next Sunday, and that's going to be two Sundays in a row then, because we'll also be closed. The next Sunday is Christmas already, the 25th. So we're going to be on that schedule unless the grandson changes it. We will have Bible class on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, but no Bible class next Sunday, the 18th. Following Wednesday, the 21st, we will be having Bible class. That'll be the last Bible class of the year, so that'll be Auld Lang Syne, which means we're going to sing. And then we will be closed for our winter break, the 25th and 28th, that Sunday and Wednesday. That Wednesday, by the way, is when the baby's scheduled to be here, supposedly. And then because we will have these next two Sundays down, we will change our bulletin board says that we will be off on the 1st, but we will not. We will be having Bible class on the 1st. So we'll just see who shows up. But shouldn't be a problem. So that's the schedule. Any questions on the schedule? Okay. So kind of interesting couple weeks coming up here. Hopefully by the end of the year, the baby will arrive and all will be ready for the next coming year. As far as announcements go, Cecil's out today. He's been having a lot of problems with his leg. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but he was hardly able to walk last Wednesday, and so I believe he's been to the doctor, and they said that he needs to lay up for a while, and so he's taking care of his knee, and hopefully things go well for him. Anybody else? I was told that Vicky wasn't feeling all that well still, even though she is home, and but she was not able to be here today, and hopefully she'll regain her strength and get back with us soon. And I guess Rob's not feeling well today either. So, and we're glad Tony's with us. Would you care if I said something about it? Okay. He was diagnosed to be, basically his whole body was filled with cancer and he was on death's door. And it was very serious. I mean, it was very, very serious. And it was real to him. And he was telling me before class how the Word of God was able to do that calming ministry that it has, and turns out he just needs to have his gallbladder removed. And so he's going to be having surgery on Tuesday to remove a gallbladder. Yeah, at Rex. So. Yeah. 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 I mean that would be. So he's pretty much experienced all ends of the spectrum of emotion and that kind of thing. So, is Lori okay?
Yeah, she has to work today, so she'll take Tuesday
off. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Anything else then? Here's a couple more for the port side. Okay. What? Get a free cleaning.
No, it's not free.
It's not free? I remember going to orientation with her, and the instructor said that when they start getting their patients for dental hygiene, they said they get a lot of good friends
in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Come on down to verse 19. He says, and not holding the capital H head, you know now from Sunday, that's a title of the Lord Jesus Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. What I'm saying is, that's the key, that's the door through which all of this is going to take place. And when you get terminology like that, being knit together, those equitable decisions end up producing that. They produce the compacting. They produce the knitting together. And that is all fascinating terminology. When you take something and you compact it, what you're doing, you end up moving the elements of whatever you're talking about closer and closer together, and you end up removing excess space and distance that might exist between them. And that's critical for a body. I may have told you here a while back, it was right at Christmas time one year. Everybody was gone, and I decided I had to do something up on the roof. And I fell off. And when I fell off, I landed on my wrist, and I hurt it. And I wound up having to get an MRI of it, and it took, I mean, over, this was over the period of several years it hurt. And one of the wrist specialists that I went to see, he said, you're not injured. He said, you've sprained it, but he said, you're not injured to the point where we could do surgery on it. And he said, what's your feeling? He said, your wrist is composed of 5 bones in there. And he said, what has happened is, there's been between just 2 of them, 2 of the smallest ones, that fall created separation. And that separation is where you're going to get your pain. He says, that wrist is not designed to be separated. It's designed to function compact. And all of those bones and ligaments and everything are designed to line up perfectly and be able to do things that are just incredible. The rotation of the wrist is a very complex issue. and function. And yet you don't ever think about it until it hurts. I bet you didn't give one thought to your wrist today, unless you have arthritis there or it's hurting. You just used it. And that thing can turn that hand, that can go this way, this way, this way, this way. It can do all kinds of things without even thinking. In fact, wrist movement is actually one of the major ways in which you can express yourself. You don't think so? What would you think of me if I started going? That conveys something, doesn't it? Anyway. Well, but that removing of that space is something that a body needs to have. And when we're talking about a body, either in a physical body, ourselves being members of the body of Christ, either way, through the effectual working of God's Word as described there in Ephesians 4, the compacting takes place. That doctrine is designed to do what you've been doing in godly equity in level 1 and move that to a realm in which something else in God's plan, purpose, and design for the body of Christ can begin to take place. And it all has to do with love. It all has to do with charity. And eventually, you've got to think it all has to do with edifying. And it does. I mean, you got to. We've struggled with it here. How do you deal with new people? How do you deal? You know, in the rare event, and I mean it's rare. But in the rare event that somebody really cares about any of this, how do you deal with these inequities? How do you deal with it? And by the way, Paul made it clear that you can destroy that person if you're not careful. He uses some very, very tough terminology when dealing with that. How did you not get destroyed? Most of you came from other backgrounds. I don't think there's one of us in this whole building that grew up rightly dividing the word of truth and properly handling the word of truth. That's why I was so excited when I got to right division. I was so excited to have got to that doctrine with you. Had it been any other church, I'd have been fired. And I mean that. But you gave me the two things that a pastor needs to have to be able to grow. Time and patience. And you were patient with me, and you gave me all the time in the world, and I've taken about all the time in the world. But this compacting issue is something that's going to be really important to us out in level 2. And as we become compacted, we're tightened up in our relationships one with another, and a closeness occurs. And when that occurs, then a knitting together begins to take place. And when things are knit together, they get stronger. That's language talking about the strength of a local assembly. Even in your body, when you break a bone and the healing of it takes place, the fibers are really talked about even by bone specialists as being knit together. And the distance of the break is reduced and reduced, and the bone comes out one unit once again. And its strength and its capacity becomes strong enough to do what it was supposed to do. And what is a bone supposed to do, especially with major bone? It's supposed to bear weight. It's supposed to be able to do its job, to bear the weight of doing its job. And that illustrates how it is that when equitable decisions are made, and that's going on in a local assembly, that local assembly, it's in its members of necessity, dealing with the relationships one with another, provides for the compacting and knitting of the body together, the local assembly especially, because that unnecessary space and distance that gets reduced. I'm not talking about that we're going to be physically stuck in the middle of the room. That's not what I'm talking about. I think you know that. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. But the result is a bonding, a strength of capacity of becoming a unit that can bear the weight of the job that we're supposed to be doing. And you got to. We don't often think about we didn't often think about edifying, godly edification, as a body. We first thought about it, and that's fine. As an individual, I'm coming to church to, in whatever metaphor you use, it's perfectly all right to be fed, to grow spiritually, much better, edified, that kind of thing. And then we got some doctrine that said, hey, buddy, you're not the only one in the body. The Father has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. And that started changing our thinking. Well, that thinking now is going to be changed even more, where we're going to realize not only do I have doctrine that's supposed to effectually work within me to provide me strength of capacity when it comes to suffering. Right now, most of us still only think about suffering individually. Well, let's put it in another way. Most of us only think about the attacks of the adversary individually. As you put on the armor of light, as you expose works of darkness, as you begin to express that, that's not the only way the adversary is going to attack. He's not only going to attack. I mean, that's always a good go-to subject because there you can get props. You know, study the tabernacle. We'll get props. We'll get the colors and we'll get the layers and we'll, you know, we'll build a model of it. Yeah, just watch Indiana Jones. You know, it's funny that that's probably the only understanding of the Ark of the Covenant anybody ever has. Anyway, but this is a great, great issue for us because not only are we members one another, but we have all these specified times for Bible class where most likely the people that you deal with in this church, in this building, you probably deal with most than most other people in your lives. I mean, there's members of your family that you may not even see as often as you see us. And that's just the nature of it. So we're around each other a lot. But I want to show you an example of this before we move on here. Let's look at an example of this. First of all, I want to look at something just to stress this issue that we've looked at before. I want you to come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I got to tell you, this thing hurts. my whole mouth hurts. Oh, anyway. All right. Here's a chapter that is, again, dedicated to straighten out some of the problems that the Corinthians were having when it came to the very issue we're dealing with, the issue of a weaker brother. I mean, down in verse 9, he talks about, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And that's another issue we've got to bring back into the forefront of our thinking is our sonship liberty. And you've got to have an enormously well-grounded appreciation for what it means to be a son where liberty and freedom is concerned for equity to be able to work right. But all I want you to focus on are the first three verses of chapter 8. He says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Now, you are expected to make that connection in Romans 14. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why charity is used. Now, we haven't brought that in, but that's the way God thinks about it. That's also one of the reasons why in chapter 13 of this very book, you don't find the word love, 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 love. It's charity, 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 charity. In the great 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, oftentimes called the love chapter. It's not the love chapter, it's the charity chapter. And one of the reasons why charity is used, and it's a sonship reason that you will never, ever get. No pastor will ever talk about it. It will never get into a saint, a Christian's mind. It will never get into his heart, and it will never be utilized by him unless he's gone through properly handling God's word and this curriculum for your sonship education. A son sees the word charity, and he, not saying it's equal to, but he almost, to get the point across right now, I'm going to say it this way, he almost equates charity with edifying. If you can make that hard connection, you're going to be far better off when it comes to all things equitable. Dealing with one another in charity, when you hear the word charity, it's almost like the word edify is on the tip of your tongue. Because the whole charitable action that you're going to be providing for another member of the body of Christ is for that person to be edified unto godliness, which is in faith, exactly as you've been able to be edified unto godliness, which is in faith. And that's what he's clobbering them with here. The Corinthians had all kinds of love going on, man. I'm telling you, they had some really whacked out love stuff happening. But it wasn't charity. And it wasn't charity as defined by the Heavenly Father. It may be, somebody may be able to call the alleviation of someone who's had a fire and building their house back a charitable thing. And it is. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. But, and this is a hard pill to swallow. And some are not going to like to hear it. But you can build that person's house back to a mansion and you've done nothing to edify the person or provide for edification to take place. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying don't get these things screwed up. We're not talking about trying to alleviate all the suffering on this earth. We're trying to get the body of Christ edified. And you have a role to play. I know what's going to happen now. There's going to be an immediate board meeting and they're going to cut my pay because they're going to say, if we're going to be involved in edifying, he's going to get his slash in pay. No, I'm just teasing. I hope I'm teasing. But you're going to be involved in it too. Not just me. All right? Keep reading. He says, charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. All I'm after here right now, and we may come back to this, where is Paul pointing their problem to? This is interesting in light of everything we've learned about godly love and charity. Is he coming along saying, you know what you guys' problem is? You don't love each other the way you should. That's not what he's saying exactly. He's saying that they don't have any charity toward one another, which is really a breed beyond that. But what's interesting is he doesn't come along and tell them, your big problem is you're not loving one another properly. In other words, he doesn't come along and say, your big problem is that you do not have a perfection of love toward man. You're not loving your neighbor properly. What does he say that their problem is? They're not loving God properly. Yeah. They are not loving the Heavenly Father for being the Father who's teaching them as sons. And because of that, it's derailed everything else. And there's some interesting things about that, but I just want to stop. I wanted to stop off there and just show you how important that is and how big of a deal it is. God makes a. In other words, it's very possible that because of the divisions, the backbiting, and everything that's going on in a local assembly, and the saints can't get along one with another as members of one body and members one of another, that it can be traced right back to the fact that they don't love God. Though they may love him as he's my Savior, he's the one who sent the Son, he did this, he did, but you're not loving him as a son would love his father, as his father was instructing and teaching him. You don't come to a point in the education and you say, I want it all, but I don't want that. Really? Well, that's where the quintessence of my business is going to be taking place. So you're saying you don't love that, and you're saying you don't love me. That's the way it comes out. Interesting. But anyway, a couple other examples here real quick. Come over to Ephesians. We were over here a little bit, I don't know if we were in this verse, but over in Ephesians chapter 4 once again. One of the objectives that comes from these skills, and especially the skill of godly equity, really begins occurring in its, and is able to occur in its height as you begin the process of the last phase of your sonship education in level 2 in chapter 4. And I want you to look just right now. This is a passage that, I mean, we all are familiar with. We've heard it lots and lots of times. I think it's even in our, most churches like ours grab it and rip it out of here and say, this is what our purpose is, and all this kind of thing. Pick it up at verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, even if you hear that and you say, that is a lot packed into there, amen. I don't know if you remember the Fuller Brush people. Was it Fuller Brush? Fuller Brush, they used to sell this concentrated soap. I think there's other companies that sell it. The Watkins people used to sell stuff like that years and years ago. And you get just a little bitty bit of it, and it would like be enough for like the whole Navy or something. That's kind of what's going on here. This is the most concentrated section of God's Word that I know of. There's more packed into that. I mean, when I read that, it makes my head hurt. Thinking about all that is there and how much of it I still have to go before I comprehend it as I should. But one of the things I know is that this is moving us toward the point where we operate as a whole body fitly joined together and compacted. And that's one of the operations that our Father has. And when you think about that creature out there, none of this exists in that thing. And these are bad things for a body. And when you understand and appreciate some things about the decision-making skill of equity and these interpersonal dealings with one another, it's those equitable decisions. Those are the decisions. Let me get that X off. These are the decisions, these equitable decisions, those are the ones that are going to make it end up producing that aspect of being compacted. And one other issue that comes up over in the book of of Colossians. Come over to Colossians real quick, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. I want two verses here, verse 2 and verse 19. Well, we can pick it up at verse 1. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Come on down to verse 19. He says, "And not holding the capital H head," you know now from Sunday, that's a title of the Lord Jesus Christ, "from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God." What I'm saying is that's the key, that's the door through which all of this is going to take place. And when you get terminology like that, being knit together, those equitable decisions end up producing that. They produce the compacting. They produce the knitting together. And that is all fascinating terminology. When you take something and you compact it, what you're doing, you end up moving the elements of whatever you're talking about closer and closer together, and you end up removing excess space and distance that might exist between them. And that's critical for a body. I may have told you here a while back, it was right at Christmas time one year. Everybody was gone, and I decided I had to do something up on the roof. And I fell off. And when I fell off, I landed on my wrist, and I hurt it. And I wound up having to get an MRI of it, and it took, this was over the period of several years it hurt. And one of the wrist specialist that I went to see, he said, "You're not injured." He said, "You've sprained it," but he said, "You're not injured to the point where we could do surgery on it." And he said, "What's your feeling?" He said, "Your wrist is composed of 5 bones in there." And he said, "What has happened is there's been between just 2 of them, 2 of the smallest ones, that fall created separation. And that separation is where you're going to get your pain." He says, that wrist is not designed to be separated. It's designed to function compact. And all of those bones and ligaments and everything are designed to line up perfectly and be able to do things that are just incredible. The rotation of the wrist is a very complex issue and function. And yet you don't ever think about it until it hurts. I bet you didn't give one thought to your wrist today, unless you have arthritis there or it's hurting. You just used it. And that thing can turn that hand, that can go this way, this way, this way, this way. It can do all kinds of things without even thinking. In fact, wrist movement is actually one of the major ways in which you can express yourself. You don't think so? What would you think of me if I started going... That conveys something, doesn't it? Anyway. Well, but that removing of that space is something that a body needs to have. And when we're talking about a body, either in a physical body, ourselves being members of the body of Christ, either way, through the effectual working of God's Word as described there in Ephesians 4, the compacting takes place. That doctrine is designed to do what you've been doing in godly equity in level 1 and move that to a realm in which something else in God's plan, purpose, and design for the body of Christ can begin to take place. And it all has to do with love. It all has to do with charity. And eventually, you've got to think it all has to do with edifying. And it does. I mean, we've struggled with it here. How do you deal with new people? How do you deal, in the rare event, and I mean it's rare, But in the rare event that somebody really cares about any of this, how do you deal with these inequities? How do you deal with it? And by the way, Paul made it clear that you can destroy that person if you're not careful. He uses some very, very tough terminology when dealing with that. How did you not get destroyed? Most of you came from other backgrounds. I don't think there's one of us in this whole building that grew up rightly dividing the word of truth and properly handling the word of truth. That's why I was so excited when I got to right division. I was so excited to have got to that doctrine with you. Had it been any other church, I'd have been fired. And I mean that. But you gave me the two things that a pastor needs to have to be able to grow. Time and patience. And you were patient with me, and you gave me all the time in the world, and I've taken about all the time in the world. But this compacting issue is something that's going to be really important to us out in level two. And as we become compacted, we're tightened up in our relationships one with another, and a closeness occurs. And when that occurs, then a knitting together begins to take place. And when things are knit together, they get stronger. That's language talking about the strength of a local assembly. Even in your body, when you break a bone and the healing of it takes place, the fibers are really talked about even by bone specialists as being knit together. And the distance of the break is reduced, and the bone comes out one unit once again. And its strength and its capacity becomes strong enough to do what it was supposed to do. And what is a bone supposed to do, especially with major bone? It's supposed to bear weight. It's supposed to be able to do its job, to bear the weight of doing its job. And that illustrates how it is that when equitable decisions are made, and that's going on in a local assembly, that local assembly, it's in its members of necessity, dealing with the relationships one with another, provides for the compacting and knitting of the body together, the local assembly especially, because that unnecessary space and distance that gets reduced. I'm not talking about that we're going to be physically stuck in the middle of the room. That's not what I'm talking about. I think you know that. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. But the result is a bonding, a strength of capacity of becoming a unit that can bear the weight of the job that we're supposed to be doing. And you got to, we don't often think about, we didn't often think about edifying, godly edification, as a body. We first thought about it, and that's fine, as an individual. I'm coming to church to, in whatever metaphor you use, it's perfectly all right to be fed, to grow spiritually, much better, edified, that kind of thing. And then we got some doctrine that said, hey, buddy, you're not the only one in the body. The Father has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. And that started changing our thinking. Well, that thinking now is going to be changed even more, where we're going to realize not only do I have doctrine that's supposed to effectually work within me to provide me strength of capacity when it comes to suffering. Right now, most of us still only think about suffering individually. Well, let's put it in another way. Most of us only think about the attacks of the adversary individually. As you put on the armor of light, as you expose works of darkness, as you begin to express that, that's not the only way the adversary is going to attack. He's not only going to attack. I mean, that's always a good go-to subject because there you can get props. You know, study the tabernacle. We'll get props. We'll get the colors, and we'll get the layers, and we'll build a model of it. Yeah, just watch Indiana Jones.
You know, it's funny that that's probably the only understanding of the Ark of the Covenant anybody ever has. Anyway, but this is a great, great issue for us, because not only are we members one another, but we have all these specified times for Bible class where most likely the people that you deal with in this church, in this building, you probably deal with most than most other people in your lives. I mean, there's members of your family that you may not even see as often as you see us. And that's just the nature of it. So we're around each other a lot. But I want to show you an example of this before we move on here. Let's look at an example of this. First of all, I want to look at something just to stress this issue that we've looked at before. I want you to come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I got to tell you, this thing hurts. my whole mouth hurts. Oh, anyway. All right. Here's a chapter that is, again, dedicated to straighten out some of the problems that the Corinthians were having when it came to the very issue we're dealing with, the issue of a weaker brother. I mean, down in verse 9, he talks about, take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. And that's another issue we've got to bring back into the forefront of our thinking, is our sonship liberty. And you've got to have an enormously well-grounded appreciation for what it means to be a son, where liberty and freedom is concerned, for equity to be able to work right. But all I want you to focus on are the first three verses of chapter 8. He says, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." Now, you are expected to make that connection in Romans 14. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons why charity is used. Now, we haven't brought that in, but that's the way God thinks about it. That's also one of the reasons why in chapter 13 of this very book you don't find the word love, 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 love. It's charity, 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 charity. In the great 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, oftentimes called the love chapter. It's not the love chapter, it's the charity chapter. And one of the reasons why charity is used, and it's a sonship reason that you will never, ever get, no pastor will ever talk about it, it will never get into a saint, a Christian's mind, it will never get into his heart, and it will never be utilized by him unless he's gone through properly handling God's word and this curriculum for your sonship education. A son sees the word charity, and he, not saying it's equal to, but he almost, to get the point across right now, I'm going to say it this way, he almost equates charity with edifying. If you can make that hard connection, you're going to be far better off when it comes to all things equitable. Dealing with one another in charity. When you hear the word charity, it's almost like the word edify is on the tip of your tongue. Because the whole charitable action that you're going to be providing for another member of the body of Christ is for that person to be edified unto godliness, which is in faith, exactly as you've been able to be edified unto godliness, which is in faith. And that's what he's clobbering them with here. The Corinthians had all kinds of love going on, man. I'm telling you, they had some really whacked out love stuff happening. But it wasn't charity.
And it wasn't charity as defined by the Heavenly Father. It may be, somebody may be able to call the alleviation of someone who's had a fire and building their house back a charitable thing. And it is. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. But, and this is a hard pill to swallow. And some are not going to like to hear it. But you can build that person's house back to a mansion, and you've done nothing to edify the person or provide for edification to take place. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying don't get these things screwed up. We're not talking about trying to alleviate all the suffering on this earth. We're trying to get the body of Christ edified. And you have a role to play. I know what's going to happen now. There's going to be an immediate board meeting, and they're going to cut my pay because they're going to say, if we're going to be involved in edifying, he's going to get his slash in pay. No, I'm just teasing. I hope I'm teasing. But you're going to be involved in it too, not just me. All right? Keep reading. He says, charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. All I'm after here right now, and we may come back to this, where is Paul pointing their problem to? This is interesting in light of everything we've learned about godly love and charity. Is he coming along saying, you know what you guys' problem is? You don't love each other the way you should. That's not what he's saying exactly. He's saying that they don't have any charity toward one another, which is really a breed beyond that. But what's interesting is he doesn't come along and tell them, your big problem is you're not loving one another properly. In other words, he doesn't come along and say, your big problem is that you do not have a perfection of love toward man. You're not loving your neighbor properly. What does he say that their problem is? They're not loving God properly. Yeah. They are not loving the Heavenly Father for being the Father who's teaching them as sons. And because of that, it's derailed everything else. And there's some interesting things about that, but I just want to stop. I wanted to stop off there and just show you how important that is and how big of a deal it is. God makes a. In other words, it's very possible that because of the divisions, the backbiting, and everything that's going on in a local assembly, and the saints can't get along one with another as members of one body and members one of another, that it can be traced right back to the fact that they don't love God. Though they may love him as their, he's my Savior, he's the one who sent the Son, he did this, he did, but you're not loving him as a son would love his father. As his father was instructing and teaching him. You don't come to a point in the education and you say, you know, I want it all, but I don't want that. Really? Well, that's where the quintessence of my business is going to be taking place. So you're saying you don't love that. And you're saying you don't love me. That's the way it comes out. Interesting. But anyway, a couple other examples here real quick. Come over to Ephesians. We were over here a little bit. I don't know if we were in this verse, but over in Ephesians chapter 4 once again. One of the objectives that comes from these skills, and especially the skill of godly equity, really begins occurring in its and is able to occur in its height as you begin the process of the last phase of your sonship education in level 2 in chapter 4. And I want you to look just right now. This is a passage that, I mean, we all are familiar with. We've heard it lots and lots of times. I think it's even in our, you know, most churches like ours grab it and rip it out of here and say, this is what our purpose is and all this kind of thing. Pick it up at verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, even if you hear that and you say, that is a lot packed into there, amen. I don't know if you remember the Fuller Brush people. Was it Fuller Brush? Fuller Brush, they used to sell this concentrated soap. I think there's other companies that sell it. The Watkins people used to sell stuff like that years and years ago. And you get just a little bitty bit of it, and it would like be enough for like the whole Navy or something. That's kind of what's going on here. This is the most concentrated section of God's Word that I know of. There's more packed into that. I mean, when I read that, it makes my head hurt. Thinking about all that is there and how much of it I still have to go before I comprehend it as I should. But one of the things I know is that this is moving us toward the point where we operate as a whole body fitly joined together and compacted. And that's one of the operations that our Father has. And when you think about that creature out there, none of this exists in that thing. And these are bad things for a body. And when you understand and appreciate some things about the decision-making skill of equity and these interpersonal dealings with one another, it's those equitable decisions. Those are the decisions. Let me get that X off. These are the decisions, these equitable decisions, those are the ones that are going to make it end up producing that aspect of being compacted. And one other issue that comes up over in the book of Colossians, come over to Colossians real quick, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. I want two verses here, verse 2 and verse 19. Well, we can pick it up at verse 1. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." Come on down to verse 19. He says, "And not holding the capital H head," you know now from Sunday, that's a title of the Lord Jesus Christ, "from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth with the increase of God." What I'm saying is that's the key, that's the door through which all of this is going to take place. And when you get terminology like that, being knit together, those equitable decisions end up producing that. They produce the compacting. They produce the knitting together. And that is all fascinating terminology. When you take something and you compact it, what you're doing, you end up moving the elements of whatever you're talking about closer and closer together, and you end up removing excess space and distance that might exist between them. And that's critical for a body. I may have told you here a while back, it was right at Christmas time one year. Everybody was gone, and I decided I had to do something up on the roof. And I fell off. And when I fell off, I landed on my wrist and I hurt it. And I wound up having to get an MRI of it, and it took, I mean, over, this was over the period of several years it hurt. And one of the wrist specialists that I went to see, he said, well, he said, you're not injured. He said, you've sprained it, but he said, you're not injured to the point where we could do surgery on it. And he said, what's your feeling? He said, your wrist is composed of 5 bones in there. And he said, what has happened is there's been between just 2 of them, 2 of the smallest ones, that fall created separation. And that separation is where you're going to get your pain. He says, that wrist is not designed to be separated. It's designed to function compact. And all of those bones and ligaments and everything are designed to line up perfectly and be able to do things that are just incredible. The rotation of the wrist is a very complex issue and function. And yet you don't ever think about it until it hurts. I bet you didn't give one thought to your wrist today, unless you have arthritis there or it's hurting. You just used it. And that thing can turn that hand. That can go this way, this way, this way, this way. It can do all kinds of things without even thinking. In fact, wrist movement is actually one of the major ways in which you can express yourself. You don't think so? What would you think of me if I started going? That conveys something, doesn't it? Anyway. Well, but that removing of that space is something that a body needs to have. And when we're talking about a body, either in a physical body, ourselves being members of the body of Christ, either way, through the effectual working of God's word is described there in Ephesians 4, the compacting takes place. That doctrine is designed to do what you've been doing in godly equity in level 1 and move that to a realm in which something else in God's plan, purpose, and design for the body of Christ can begin to take place. And it all has to do with love. It all has to do with charity. And eventually, you've got to think it all has to do with edifying. And it does. I mean, you got to. We've struggled with it here. How do you deal with new people? How do you deal? You know, in the rare event, and I mean it's rare. But in the rare event that somebody really cares about any of this, how do you deal with these inequities? How do you deal with it? And by the way, Paul made it clear that you can destroy that person if you're not careful. He uses some very, very tough terminology when dealing with that. How did you not get destroyed? Most of you came from other backgrounds. I don't think there's one of us in this whole building that grew up rightly dividing the word of truth and properly handling the word of truth. That's why I was so excited when I got to right division. I was so excited to have got to that doctrine with you. Had it been any other church, I'd have been fired. And I mean that. But you gave me the 2 things that a pastor needs to have to be able to grow. Time and patience. And you were patient with me, and you gave me all the time in the world, and I've taken about all the time in the world. But this compacting issue is something that's going to be really important to us out in level 2. And as we become compacted, we're tightened up in our relationships one with another, and a closeness occurs. And when that occurs, then a knitting together begins to take place. And when things are knit together, they get stronger. That's language talking about the strength of a local assembly. Even in your body, when you break a bone and the healing of it takes place, the fibers are really talked about even by bone specialists as being knit together. And the distance of the break is reduced and reduced, and the bone comes out one unit once again. And its strength and its capacity becomes strong enough to do what it was supposed to do. And what is a bone supposed to do, especially with major bone? It's supposed to bear weight. It's supposed to be able to do its job, to bear the weight of doing its job. And that illustrates how it is that when equitable decisions are made, and that's going on in a local assembly, that local assembly, it's in its members of necessity, dealing with the relationships one with another, provides for the compacting and knitting of the body together, the local assembly especially, because that unnecessary space and distance that gets reduced. I'm not talking about that we're going to be physically stuck in the middle of the room. That's not what I'm talking about. I think you know that. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. But the result is a bonding, a strength of capacity of becoming a unit that can bear the weight of the job that we're supposed to be doing. And you got to, we don't often think about, we didn't often think about edifying, godly edification, as a body. We first thought about it, and that's fine, as an individual. I'm coming to church to, in whatever metaphor you use, it's perfectly all right to be fed, to grow spiritually, much better, to edified, that kind of thing. And then we got some doctrine that said, hey, buddy, you're not the only one in the body. The Father has dealt to every one of us a measure of faith. And that started changing our thinking. Well, that thinking now is going to be changed even more, where we're going to realize not only do I have doctrine that's supposed to effectually work within me to provide me strength of capacity when it comes to suffering. Right now, most of us still only think about suffering individually. Well, let's put it in another way. Most of us only think about the attacks of the adversary individually. As you put on the armor of light, as you expose works of darkness, as you begin to express that, that's not the only way the adversary is going to attack. He's not only going to attack. I mean, that's always a good go-to subject because there you can get props. You know, study the tabernacle. We'll get props. We'll get the colors and we'll get the layers and we'll, you know, we'll build a model of it. Yeah, just watch Indiana Jones. You know, it's funny that that's probably the only understanding of the Ark of the Covenant anybody ever has. Anyway, but this is a great, great issue for us because not only are we members one another, but we have all these specified times for Bible class where most likely the people that you deal with in this church, in this building, you probably deal with most than most other people in your lives. I mean, there's members of your family that you may not even see as often as you see us. And that's just the nature of it. So we're around each other a lot. But I want to show you an example of this before we move on here. Let's look at an example of this. First of all, I want to look at something just to stress this issue that we've looked at before. I want you to come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I got to tell you, this thing hurts. my whole mouth hurts. Oh.